of Jesus. It is good to be together to worship this morning. I want to bless you, Jason and Lauren, as you go. It's a time that you can set aside to meditate and study in God's word, a time that you will appreciate later in life for sure. So God bless you in that. As you have probably already noticed, we have finished up in 1 Peter, and we're looking to do a series now on the gifts of the Spirit. And kind of what led me in this direction is studying in 1 Peter in chapter 4. We came across a verse that says, "As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it to the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So this morning, what I'd like to do is just an introduction to the gifts. Don't plan to really dive into the gifts specifically. We'll do that at a later time. But as a way of introduction, I'd like to do a children's lesson this morning. So all you children can come front, find some room here on the bench, on the floor, and we'll have a little story. So come on up. Very good. So I already talked about that we're doing an introduction to gifts. Well, today is actually a birthday for someone that is very special to me. It's my wife Kendra's birthday today, and she is turning more than 25. And so as you think about your birthday, what is special about your birthday? What is it? What do you look forward to on your birthday? Gifts, right up front. Good job. What else? Is there anything else that's special about your birthday? Maybe the birthday cake. Maybe some friends and family coming over to celebrate too. But gifts are the best part, right? I actually have some gifts that aren't very valuable anymore, but they're still special to me. If you would look at them, you'd probably say, that's junk. That should be thrown away. But because of who gave the gift is what makes it special. And the Bible actually talks quite a bit about gifts. And God gives us gifts as his children. I think the most important gift that we receive from God is Jesus Christ, right? Jesus came. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus came as a gift for us. And he gives us eternal life. That's a gift. We get to live forever with Jesus someday, a gift. But this morning, we're going to be talking about some other gifts that God gives. And so I need a few volunteers to hold some stuff. So, right now, we'll just stick your hand up and we'll have you stand maybe right here in front of the pulpit. All right, you can come up. You wanted to. I need two more people over here, you two guys. Let's start with this. Right here, I have a drill and a screwdriver. We'll give this over here to you. And is that what you wanted? Well, we'll talk about that later. And so the Bible says that to some people, he gives the gifts of being a servant. And so you are representing our servant here, service. You have tools to serve people. To another, he gives the gift of teacher. Would you like to be our teacher? You hold the language book on how to read. To another, he gives a gift of evangelism. So I have a Bible here. Do you want to be our evangelist? I have a shovel. And this represents our apostle, our church planter. You get to hold the shovel. And, oh, I'm holding the other one, the clipboard. There we go. This is representing the gift of administration, one who can take order, organize things, make sure everything is flowing smoothly. So if you look at all your gifts, they are all very different, aren't they? One's a teacher, one's holding a Bible, one's holding a shovel. Tools, but God has given all of his children a special gift for his purpose. He is saying, I have a job that I want you to accomplish, and I'm going to give you a gift to make sure that you can accomplish the task. And so sometimes we look at the other people's gift, right? And we say, I like that gift better. I would have liked to have that gift. But that's not what God is telling us to do. He's saying, I have designed you specifically for a task. I have given you the tools that you need to accomplish that task. And so if you just follow me, I will lead you. I will show you the way in accomplishing that calling on your life. Now, we'll just let you stand there with that. And one of the other things that God teaches us is that these gifts are designed to work together in unity for the edification of the church. So we are to use our gifts that God gives to serve each other in love. I have a whole stack of cups. We're going to put one here now. We'll leave it right there. And I also have a cookie sheet that we're going to put on top of that cup. You're standing right here. Do you want to stand on there? See if that holds you up. Be careful. Uh-oh, there it goes. That's not going to work, is it? One cup isn't going to do the job of holding up that cookie sheet. But the Bible teaches us that as we work together, as we come together to accomplish the gifts, the tasks that he has given, we come and we align ourselves beside other believers and we put them. We didn't try this before, so we'll make sure we put two on the stack. And we're just going to line these up. This is like the church coming together and working together to fulfill the task that God has given, using all the gifts that he has given specifically for us. That's a whole bunch of cups, right? How many rows do you think we can get on there? A few more yet? Now let's put this on top. That's not going to work. This takes longer than I thought it would to put all these cups in a row. Now, one cup didn't hold it by itself, but I wonder if all those cups together, you want to stand on it this time, see if all those cups together, working together, can accomplish the task. Look at that. Perfectly. Thank you. So you see, God has given each of his children a gift. Each gift looks differently. And as we bring those gifts working together in unity and love as a body of believers, God can accomplish his task through us as his children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all these children here this morning. God, I look at their lives and see the potential of all that can happen in the kingdom of God. So I pray that you would bless each one of their lives, continue to call them towards you and towards your purposes. God, I pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified through each one of these children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can just set these here and go back to your parents again. Thank you. Thank you, Darrell. I think Perry really set the tone for this message and the way he closed his Sunday school lesson and talking about the sin of omission, the things that we don't do that maybe we are called to do, and what we are expected to do. And so what I'd like to think about is equipping the saints with the gifts that God is giving. Like I said, I've been thinking about this series for a little bit, and so there's two verses that I want to keep in front of us as we think about the gifts of the spiritual gifts. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." And James 4:6, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And this really is the focus I want to draw out of these two verses, is that what we receive from God as a spiritual gift is a gift. It's not something that we earned. It's not something that we can take pride in, but we can, as we pursue Jesus in our lives, God gives us these gifts so that we can bring honor and glory to him. So it's not necessarily about me and the gift. It's about pursuing Jesus Christ in our lives. And in doing that, it's in humility and love to serve the church and for the ministry of reaching out to the world around us. We'll get into that a little bit more later. And so I want us to be sure that we are looking through the lens of Jesus Christ as we're looking at these gifts. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so as we're looking at about these spiritual gifts, the ultimate gift that we can receive is Jesus Christ. I want to be clear about that. And as we look to fulfill God's calling and purpose in our lives, we are looking and pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not necessarily looking and trying to pursue, I want this gift and I want that gift. I want to pursue Jesus Christ and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then these gifts will manifest themselves in and through us and to the world around. Sure, we will see the signs and evidence to that. But what we want to magnify is pursuing Jesus in a relationship with him. Jesus is that gift that has come and stepped into a world of brokenness, of sin, of decay, a world of separation from our good Father. And Jesus steps into that brokenness and suffering and becomes the perfect sacrifice and redeems us as his children. All who call on his name, he redeems. And we have been liberated. We have been set free from sin, from Satan, through the blood that Jesus has shed on the cross at Calvary. This is the greatest gift that we can experience. And I believe that right after that is the gift of the Holy Spirit, who comes in power in our lives, who helps us to live. He's the comforter. He's the one who brings to remembrance all things. He teaches all things. The power of God to live in us is a gift. And so my heart is, as we look at these spiritual gifts, that it's about pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. To remember, Jesus, you are the ultimate gift that we could receive. Holy Spirit, live in me, dwell in me, empower me to fulfill the calling that God places on our lives. That's what I would like us to be pursuing, instead of looking at these gifts as something that we want to pursue. Yes, in a sense, we do. We do pursue them. We are to pursue prophecy. And so in a sense, we are pursuing them, but the ultimate thing that we are looking at is the relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship, then these gifts can be expressed. I don't know if many of you remember, Jay Baumgartner actually did a series on this a few years ago. And I think I found a handout he gave in that series. And so my passion and heartbeat for this series is that each of us is in a deep spiritual journey to know Jesus, because it's out of that relationship that everything else in life, purpose, makes sense. So what I'd like to look at here this morning is possessing and purpose of the spiritual gifts, and that simply is how we handle the spiritual gifts and the purpose of the spiritual gifts. And we'll look at just basically go over the gifts of the Spirit, typically known as the motivational gifts in Romans 12, ministry gifts in Ephesians 4, and then the manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. And then hopefully we'll get to practicing the spiritual gifts as well, putting the gifts into action. And then we'll follow up later with looking specifically at each of these gifts. as an employee, as working for my dad for many years, I would go into the office and I would receive an assignment for the day. The boss had already figured out what the task is for the day, what he'd like us to see accomplished that day. And so for the sake of this story, I'm going to say that the task was given for me to go do install a patio. And so I show up in the morning and the task is given. Today, you're going to go out and install a patio. So while I'm automatically already thinking, well, if I'm installing a patio, there's some resources that I'm going to need. There's some things that I'm going to need to accomplish this task and get the job done. And my boss and my dad is already thinking about this in this case already. And he's like, yeah, like, so there's some things that you're going to need that I have the resources for. I have the resources to accomplish the task. And so in order for things to flow smoothly today, you're going to need some base material for this patio. You're going to need the bedding material for the bedding layer. You're going to need the pavers. You're going to need some equipment. And so I want you to take truck number 9. That one there will give you enough space to haul your 2 different kinds of material. And the trailer, take the deck over trailer. That one doesn't have sides, so you can slide the pallet up front and you can put the equipment on the back. There'll be some room for your tools on there too. And so you take what you need there and go out and accomplish the task. He has already figured out the task has certain requirements, certain resources that we're going to need, and he has already allocated those resources for that task in particular. And so he's equipping me to get the job done on schedule, on time, and for everything to flow together smoothly. And as we think about that in our spiritual lives, God has an assignment for each one of us. God has a calling and a purpose for you, for me, and he is equipping you. He knows what you need to accomplish that task. And so he gives the gifts for you to do exactly what he is calling you to do. And he has an abundance of resources in able to accomplish the task. And it's also that we work together in unity. Not one gift is greater than the other. It's about following the calling that God has on your life. So if we look at the question, why do we have spiritual gifts at all? Paul says specifically in Ephesians that it's for the building up of the body of Christ. And he also reminds us in 1 Corinthians 14 that since you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore, our goal should be to establish the church, to build, to uplift the church with our gifts. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, it also says that the gifts are given for the work of ministry. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And so here is, I believe, the primary purposes that we have for why we receive gifts at all. It is for the edification of the church. It's to build up the body of believers, and it's to take the gospel to the farthest parts of the world or across the street to teach and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And if that's not enough, Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Which Colossians backs up in 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." God deserves the worship and the glory that we can give to him as believers. And God desires that all people would come to know him. Therefore, it makes sense for us to use our gifts to edify the church and for the ministry to the world around us. And I think this kind of captures the idea of church being more than an organization, of church being more than an institution, of church being a movement that we all get to participate in. The gospel is capable of transforming the lives of people, of all of humanity, of renewing society. It transcends culture barriers. It has a power and a force that cannot be stopped. And we have a purpose in that. We have a calling in that, that we get to participate in what God is doing to the world around us in the life of the church. That's more than an organization. It's more of a movement that we get to participate in. And so I hope we can catch that vision that Jesus is empowering you and me through the Holy Spirit with these spiritual gifts to fulfill the calling that he has on your life, to come away from this with a renewed vision and purpose of how God is using people for his glory and to strengthen other believers to make his name known around the world. You can turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, 1 to 6. I want to make a few observations from each one of these, from Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. And so I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. There's just a couple observations, and we could make more than this, but Paul is beginning with, I beseech you, therefore. So this is kind of a transition point again. Paul is doing a lot of teaching on you. We are all sinners, whether we're Jew, whether we're Gentile. We have all sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And how Jesus atoned for our sin, and how we can be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore, it is reasonable to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. And then you notice humility. Humility is placed in here as well. We are one body in Christ, speaking of unity. And of course, love. Love for each other. So now if we go to, those are just a couple observations. If we go now to Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 8, the introduction here on the gifts of ministry. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Again, if we make a couple observations here, again, you'll see they're the same observations that we just looked at in Romans. I beseech you, therefore. So again, we're going back to what Paul is teaching in the beginning of Ephesians, and he's teaching on the plan of salvation, the oneness and the peace that we have in Christ Jesus, that even the Gentiles are brought into the family of God, and the privilege that we have as that in Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So we see the same points mentioned. I beseech you, therefore. So there's something that was said before that is introducing a point that we had come to here with the gifts, and that is of the grace of God that we receive in our lives through Jesus Christ, the salvation. And then do it again in humility. The one body, the seven ones that we see, so work together in unity and love. There's, in chapter 3, Paul, right before he goes into this idea here, he has a prayer that I want to just read to you. It really captures the vision, I believe, and the purpose that we're even talking about spiritual gifts this morning. He says in chapter 3, verse 16, I pray that, let me back up to 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I think that captures well the vision, the passion, the heartbeat for pursuing these gifts through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 1-7. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, for you know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So if we make observations now on 1 Corinthians 12, we see the word wherefore. And again, it goes back to what we were before we were believers in Christ. And again, the idea of humility. One body in Christ, that comes later actually in the chapter, but it spends quite a bit of time talking about how we are one with different members of one body, unity and love. So these are the themes that I think we want to be looking at. All of these three scriptures have these same themes written into the text right before we talk about spiritual gifts. So as we are talking about spiritual gifts, remember that it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are redeemed, that we are brought into his family. So we have no, and these are gifts that are given through Jesus Christ, so there's nothing that we can be proud about in them. We can be proud about Jesus, but not looking at pride at our gifting that we are given. So we're talking about humility. We're talking about unity, coming together as one body of Christ to serve the body and to do the ministry of the church. And so, and when I say ministry of the church, I'm not talking about the ministry team. I'm talking about like the acts of service that go out into the world around us. And of course, a heavy dose of love in all of that. Now, let's go to the gifts. I'm not going to turn to scripture, but I'm going to, I just have them up on the PowerPoint. I want to point out, first of all, that in Romans 12, verse 3, it said, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And in verse 6, having the gifts that differ according to that grace. So God has given gifts of his grace that we see and are referred to as the motivational gifts in Romans chapter 12. Now, Ephesians 4, verse 7 says, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So the ministry gifts we see as presented by Jesus Christ. And then the manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit for everyone. And so we see these manifestation gifts of the Spirit. So we see the clear picture of the triune God, the Trinity, represented here in these gifts. We have God giving gifts, we have Jesus giving gifts, and we have the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. And so clearly we have all three of the Trinity represented. And these motivational gifts that we'll look at first here, the gifts of prophecy, of serving or ministry, of teaching, exhortation, which for now we'll just say the gift of encouragement, giving, administration, and mercy. So these are the motivational gifts that we see given by God. And I like to think about this as these gifts that you see here are at the core of who you are as a person. They're the framework in which you view the world. Let's just make an example here. Let's say it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you are driving through Lancaster City and you see a younger to middle-aged man sitting on the porch, as we would call in Grenada, liming in the shade. So he's sitting there relaxing. And what are the first things that you think about as you observe that? Now, I know that that culture and expectation play a role in here too, but I'm going to suggest that a prophet is going to see that and they'll say like, why isn't he at work? There's no reason that he's not at work today. A person that is a giver, that has a gift of giving, will maybe think along the lines, well, I wonder what needs he has in his life. I wonder how I could speak into his life by giving something. I wonder if they could use a meal. I wonder how I could speak into his life that way. A person with a gift of teaching is probably going to be like, well, whatever he needs, we can teach him that. We can teach him all things to teach him what he needs to know. A server's going to look at that situation and be like, how could I serve him? How could I meet some of his needs? That kind of goes along with giving, I guess. But what I'm saying, and I think you catch that, the way we view the world, the way we view circumstances and things that pop up into our life are shaped by the motivational gifts that we have that are given by God, and they're designed to work together in the church. We talked about deception this morning in Sunday school class, and these gifts come together, all working together to create a beautiful picture of what the church is in the body of Christ and also to the world around us. Then there's the gifts of ministry that are often referred to as the apex gifts, the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherd or the pastor, and teacher. Jesus is our example as we imitate these gifts of ministry. I missed a part. I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, talking of the purpose of the gifts, and it fits in here with the gift of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. This is the purpose of the gifts: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The gifts are given for the edification of the church, for the ministry, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints, coming together, bringing all these gifts together in unity. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It takes all of these gifts working together as a body to come to a place of the fullness of Christ. Manifestation gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. So when we look at these gifts, the manifestation gifts of the Spirit, so we look at these gifts and we look into our lives and we say, I don't see the manifestation of the Spirit, or I see the manifestation of the Spirit working really well in this particular gifting. That must mean that I am at a good place in my spiritual journey, right? No. Galatians 6 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so this is what we look to, where we can recognize a little bit where we are on our spiritual journey. The fruits of the Spirit are what are evident in our lives that make us, that show us that we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that the manifestation gifts will also be evident in our lives, but those aren't the clear indicator that we are at a good place in our spiritual journey. If the gift isn't necessarily about us or for us, maybe that's saying it too strong, but the purpose of the gift is for the edifying of the church and for the ministry serving others. And to go further with this point, as I was preparing, I heard the testimony of a pastor that had a very profound gift of being able to communicate the gospel. Now, this pastor had fallen into sin, and he was trapped there. He was in that vicious cycle of committing sin and saying, I'm never going to do that again. And then he would fall into that sin. And he would look at every Sunday he was preaching the gospel, and there were some, he heard the testimony of all the things that God was doing through the work of the gift of in him. And so that kept him from repenting. He's saying the work of the Spirit, the God is doing an incredible work through me. So that must mean that I'm okay where I'm at. That must mean that although there's this sin in my life, it doesn't matter. And it kept him from repenting. And so that is the danger that we have when we look at the gifts to see what the gifts are doing in our lives. We are pursuing Jesus Christ, and we are living our lives in submission to his will, and we are looking for the fruits of the Spirit in our life. Yes, the manifestation of the Spirit should be showing up in our lives, but that isn't the measure of success. There can be the temptation to think that, well, when these manifestations of the Spirit show up in my life, then I am a spiritual giant. And that's not at all what I'm trying to represent here this morning. We are to pursue Jesus Christ. These gifts of the manifestation show up in our lives, but we look for the fruits of the Spirit as evidence that Jesus is working in our life, not the manifestation of the Spirit, although that is part of it. Does that make sense at all, what I'm trying to say? I hope you can follow what I'm trying to say in that. If not, maybe I can clarify it later. I also want to address the idea here when we're talking about these miracle gifts, the gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit, that there is a view that these gifts have ceased. Cessationalists, that they believe that the miracle gifts of tongues and healing have ceased, that the end of the apostolic age brought about a cessation of the miracles associated with that age. Most cessationists believe that while God can and still does perform miracles today, the Holy Spirit no longer uses individuals to perform miraculous signs. So I'm not planning to dig into that today. If that is your standpoint, though, I would be really interested in hearing from you. I'm not sure where we as a congregation stand on all of this. And so if you are of the persuasion that the miracle gifts, the manifestation gifts have ceased with the apostolic age, I would be interested in hearing from you. How do we use these gifts? God has chosen you for a purpose of doing great things for him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God already, he has plans for you, for your life. He wants us as his people to listen to him, to follow his calling, to make ourselves available to serve. He expects us to use the gifts that he has given us. Parable of the Talents, Matthew 25. I want to make a couple observations here. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man. Before I read this, I want to give you the backdrop of what is all happening here. Jesus is teaching this parable, of course. Before this chapter, before this, Jesus is teaching on the end times. He's calling the listener to keep watch. And from there, he teaches on the kingdom of God being like the ten bridesmaids. Five were prepared, five were not. Again, he says, keep watch. You don't know the hour or the day when Jesus will return. Then it's this parable, the parable of the talents. And then following this, he teaches on the final judgment. And it appears like he goes through all of this in like one sitting. Like this is the whole theme of what he is teaching on the end times. Be alert, be watchful, be ready. And in that context, we have this parable of the talents. So for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to this his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast all. There thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou therefore oughtest to have put my money in the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. I don't know exactly what a talent is here, but from what I was studying, I gathered that it's possibly a measure of weight, and a talent of silver would have been like 100 pounds of silver. So whatever the amount is in dollar value, it would be very valuable. And the context of this, again, is to be ready for Jesus' return. So let's make a few observations. He was given a gift, something he did not earn. The gifts were not equal. The master has expectations, and the stewards had liberty to how to invest. And so as I was thinking about these observations, I went back to the observations I made when we're introducing the gifts, and I think there's a little correlation there. Maybe I'm stretching for it. I don't know. But the servant was given a gift, something that he didn't earn. And we looked at, I beseech you, therefore, that that because of Jesus, because of the work of salvation, we receive something that we didn't earn. So I think there's a correlation there. The gifts were not equal, and we see that we work together in unity as one body. Not all the gifts earn, maybe that's not saying it correctly, necessarily equal. And the master has expectations. Back on. Very good. And so the steward had they were given liberty on how to invest the gift that they were given. So I'd like to focus in here a little bit more on our one talent man.